ask yourself, what would the health level of our church look like if everybody served Jesus like you? Because the church is made up of people. This building houses people of God that come and serve him. And that is what we come to do. It is about him, ultimately. But I promise you that if we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, because that's what the Bible says is the first commandment, then we will love our neighbor as ourselves. Because his love will be poured out through us. But we have to submit to that. We have to allow him to give us the strength. We have to listen when he says, hey, your attitude is wrong. You're responding wrong to that person. You know, you're handling that situation wrong. Because if he is Lord, he will continually be changing us. This walk with him is progressive. And so no matter where we are spiritually, we need to grow. No matter how long we've been serving the Lord, from day one to day 70, we need to be growing in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Growth is not a one-time goal. It is an all-the-time, every-minute, every-day goal. None of us have reached the place where we can say, I have arrived. I am where I need to be spiritually. If you have, then you need to talk to Jesus because, you know, none of us have reached that yet. But the thing is that the closer that we get to the Lord Jesus, the more we realize how much we need him. And it's easy for us to think I'm pretty good if I stand far away from him, because I compare myself to other people and I go, you know, I'm not as bad as that guy and I'm not as bad as her. And, you know, I'm doing pretty good. But the closer that we get to Jesus, the more that we see how much we need him. And I've said this lots of times before, but honestly, it is a continual revelation for me. I used to think I've grown up in the church. I've been saved as long as I can remember. But I used to think, like, the longer that you walk with the Lord, you know, those people that have walked with God a long time, they know how to do this thing. Like, you know, God has taught them and they know how to walk. But what I realized the longer that I walk with him is the longer that I walk with him, the more that I realize that I don't know how to do it apart from him, that I need him. Because if I make it about how well I'm doing, then I get stuck in pride and I'm so busy patting myself on the back at how well I'm doing spiritually, you know, that I end up causing a lot of problems, not only for myself, but for other people. You realize, you see these great leaders and how many of them, Jehoshaphat, as the king of the nation, this was so encouraging to me as I read the story and the Lord showed me. He got on his face in front of everybody and said, Lord, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. Moses said, God, I don't want to go if you don't go with me, because he knew he couldn't do it on his own. And so this relationship is first and foremost about him. It is about connection with him. Growth is not accomplished by action. It is accomplished by connection. Apart from him, you can do nothing. We need to stay connected to the one who strengthens us and enables us to live this life. Now, I realize that faith without works is dead. For those of you who are thinking, well, you have to put works and you have to put feet to your prayer. Yes, you do. The Bible says faith without works is dead. But faith has to come first. If you say, it doesn't say works without faith is dead. It says faith without works, because faith comes first. When I am connected to Christ Jesus every day, works are going to come. They are a part of the process, a part of the relationship. And faith comes through relationship with him, not separate from it. Our goal shouldn't be only to please God, but to know him. When we stand before God, the goal is not to hear just good job. The goal is to hear that he knew us. Well done, good and faithful service. We do that through relationship. That's why those that Jesus is going to turn away, he's not going to say you didn't do good things, because the truth is there are good people on the world, people doing good things apart from the Lord. He will say, I never knew you. Why? Because this relationship, it is about relationship. It is about knowing him. It is about obeying him. Because, like I said earlier, if I make it about doing good things, I can do good things. I can feel good about myself. I can tell myself that me and God are good because I'm doing good things without being connected to the Lord Jesus. We need to be connected to Jesus so that the things that we're doing are because of him and for him and through him and by him. So our goal should it be, I'm going to say that again, to please God, but to know him, because I promise you, if you will seek to know him, he will show you how to please him. That comes as a result of knowing him. But if I make it about I am working so hard to try to please my father, then it becomes a works thing. And I am constantly trying to be good enough and do the right things so that I can gain his approval. But Jesus went to the cross so that I could already have a relationship with him. So that through that relationship, I can do good works because of my relationship with him. And so our goal as Christians shouldn't be to do good things well so that we can pat ourselves on the back and think what a good Christian we are. Our goal should be to walk in more connection with God every day, in communion with the Holy Spirit, in lordship with Jesus as Lord of our lives. Because to hear his voice and follow his lead and obey his commands is where the Christian life is both possible and fulfilling. Apart from relationship with him, it gets very tiring to try to do the right thing, to be the bigger person, to be nice to people that are mean to you, to, you know, witness, to come to church, to read your Bible, to pray. All of those things, if it's not about relationship, if it's not coming from his power within us, they just get exhausting. And that's why people in the church burn out. They go, I'm tired. I'm trying to do the right things and I'm tired. If we will walk with him, sometimes he will say, you don't need to do that. Somebody else is supposed to do that. Sometimes he'll say, just sit with me. Just be with me. Just let me give you rest. And as we are all doing the things that God is calling us to do in the church, I promise you, the things that will need to get done will get done. Because God will show us. And he makes up those differences. And sometimes, even within the church, ministries drop because God says, we're done with that for now. And we do new things, and that's okay. John 15:4-8, I want us to read that. So you can stand and we'll read this. It says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. If you think you can bear fruit apart from him, read this verse. You cannot bear fruit by yourself. It's not possible. You can do good things. Lots of people are doing good things, but they will not count when you stand before God if it's not in connection with him. Because this verse is very clear. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. This is Jesus talking. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. That's so encouraging to me. For without me, you can do nothing. Everybody say, without him, I can do nothing. That's what the scripture says. If anyone does not abide in me, verse 6, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Okay, this is not a vine branch. I don't have a vine. This is a tree branch, but you know, you get the picture. So, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. You can be seated. Apart from relationship with him, we're just trying to do the right things. Christianity isn't us reaching toward him, trying with our good works to reach him. And I realize I said that, but I just want to make sure everybody gets that. It's us walking in relationship with him and obeying his word out of reverence for him. It's a precious challenge that forever and continually changes us. Continually, it changes us as we submit to him. Psalm 1 gives us some insight into what a healthy relationship with God looks like. So we're going to look at Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, blessed is the man, or the person, it means person, who walks not in the counsel. This word counsel also means advice, also means purpose. We're going to come back to that. Of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So this says, blessed or happy is the person who doesn't walk in the counsel, in the advice, in the purpose of the ungodly. Purpose means the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. If we don't get our purpose from walking with God, we will constantly be trying to find ourselves. We see this in the world all the time. We see this in Hollywood with people that have it all, you know, and their lives end up a mess. Why? Because purpose cannot be found apart from God Almighty. Now, a purpose for a limited time can be found. You can find, you know, pleasure, you can find meaning for a limited time. But I promise you, if you base your purpose on a person on this earth, they will inevitably let you down. Ask my husband. He will tell you, I have let him down. I am far from perfect. And although I would love to be a perfect wife, I am far from there. And so if he found his meaning in me, he's going to be disappointed. If I find my purpose in what I do by myself, when I don't do it right, when I fall short, when other people don't recognize that I am doing it right, you know, whenever, whatever happens, I'm not going to find meaning in that, in those things, in those people. My purpose is found in finding myself in relationship with the one who created me. And so one of the goals of our church is that we would discover God's purpose for our lives. Why is that? Because our purpose is so powerful when it is found in Jesus, when it is found in the one who created us, for what he created us to be and how he created us to live. Our purpose is not found for him. Our purpose is found in him. That's important. It's not, my purpose is not just to be a mom, to be a wife, to be a pastor, to be any of those things. My purpose is to be in relationship with my Creator. And I find my purpose in doing the things that I do every day by the relationship that I have with Him. And so, discovering God's purpose for our lives, though, isn't just discovering what we're supposed to do. A lot of people, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you talk about what are you going to be when you grow up? What is our ultimate goal? Some of us as adults, we're still trying to figure out what we're going to be. You know, we're still trying to figure out, God, what are you calling me to be now? You know, I mean, life continually changes. Rick and I have been married 24 years. We'll celebrate 25 next year. Whoop, whoop. And so, you know, we are still, though, one of the things that we realize is, shocker, we still argue. You know, the reason we've realized that, though, is because I am not the same person I was at 20. I am actually quite different at 44 than I was at 20. And so, you know, we're continually learning how to do this marriage thing and how to, you know, connect with each other and what it's supposed to look like. And so this relationship is ever changing. And so this discovering God's purpose for our lives, the same as my marriage, it's not about figuring out what I'm supposed to do and getting there and doing it. Because then once I get there, then okay. It is about discovering my relationship with Him, walking that out every day. And so my purpose in my life didn't start when I when I went to college. It didn't start when we became youth pastors. It didn't start when we became lead pastors. It started when I became a Christian, when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. My purpose has been to walk with Him. When we were moving from youth ministry into pastoring, we hadn't yet. My parents had talked to us and we were like, no way, we don't want to do that. We just want to stay youth pastors forever. And we want my dad to pastor the church forever, you know. And I went to youth camp and the guy that was speaking there, he said in the counselor's meeting, he said, when you are called, you are not called just to be a youth pastor, just to be a pastor, just to be a missionary, just to be a mom, just to be a, you know, military, whatever you're called. He said, your calling is to Him. That revolutionized my thinking because my identity was bound up. This is what I am called to do. And I can't do anything else. I don't know how to do anything else. Like, I like what I'm doing. I like what I've been called to do. My calling is to walk with the Lord. And to let Him show me what that means. And for those of you that are planners, I am learning to be a planner. I've never been a planner my whole life. Ask anyone. They will tell you that is a genuine weakness that I am growing in my 40s. And it's taken me 20 years and I'm still not there. Because the good thing is I am pretty laid back. Like, I can go with the flow. You know, things can change. You know, but I've learned I really need to plan things. And so the Lord's been working on me and I'm much better about it than I used to be. And so that's an important thing that God is working in me, is that learning how to plan. But for those of you that are already planners, you're like, God, I need you to give me steps A through F. And I would prefer if you would give it to me before we get there. Like preferably, you know, a year ahead of time so I can prepare myself to get to A, you know? Okay, for those of you, that is way stressful for me. Like I have learned, that's the good thing about not being a planner, is I don't stress until about 3 hours before something happens. And then I'm like, you know, and I'm just trying to accomplish everything, but I'm not stressed like the year leading up to it. Okay. But listen, I'm just going to clue you in on something. God generally, he might give you A, and sometimes he will give you F, and sometimes he will give you Z. He generally will not give you the whole plan. Why? Because we would go, okay, Lord, I will see you at the finish line. I know how to do this and I'm good. Like, and he doesn't want us to do that, because this purpose is not A to Z accomplish these things. This purpose is walk with me. Everyday walk with me. Let me show you what this looks like. Let me show you how to do this. Let me show you who you are. Let me teach you through everything that you go through. If we will walk with the Lord through everything we go through, he will teach us. He will train us. He will prepare us. He will walk with us. So blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel, in the purpose of the ungodly. Our life with God is meant to be lived out in relationship with him, finding our purpose, not in something, but in someone. That's big. My purpose is not in something. It's not in something that I do. Because if my purpose is being a mom, when my children are too busy for me, or when they decide I'm not cool enough to hang out with, or when they move and do their own thing, then all of a sudden my purpose is, you know, flailing. My purpose is not in another person. It is in him. It's not in something. It's in someone. So this is what this looks like. My life is every day. My purpose is to actively pursue relationship with Jesus through prayer and through listening to the Holy Spirit. And number two, my purpose is to live by his word. It is to read the Bible and listen to what it says to me. Psalm 119:105. Will you put up the first slide, Joe? It says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. If I will do those things, if I will seek the Lord in prayer, and if I will actively listen to him, and if I will live by what his word says, then he will show me what to do and what not to do. And through relationship with him will teach me when to do what. The Bible is full of instructions, if you've ever noticed. Like the Bible says, be still, and the Bible says, move. The Bible says, speak, and the Bible says, be quiet. The Bible says, forgive. The Bible says, you know, there's really nothing else about that. I mean, you just have to forgive. But, you know, there's all of these instructions that in order to know which one do I do when. In fact, there's in Proverbs, I didn't look it up, but there's a Proverbs that says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. The next verse says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. People go, the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible does not contradict itself. If you know me as a mother, there are times if my children were about to go somewhere and it's raining cats and dogs, I will tell them, do not go outside. I don't want you to get wet right now. If they've been outside, like it's raining, don't go outside. If they've been cooped up all day inside, they've been playing too many video games and watching too much TV, and it's raining, I go outside and play in the rain. Like it's not, you know, it's not lightning, go outside. Am I being contradictory? No, there are different instructions for different parts of life. The Bible is full of instructions. And if we will walk in connection with the one who wrote it, he will show us which instruction goes for which time. And that's why we have to learn to see the Bible as not a checklist. I do this because I'm supposed to, because it's the Christian thing to do, because my parents tell me to, because my pastor says I should. I do it because it will show me how to live my life every day. Because the Holy Spirit who is alive and who walks with us in relationship and communion will bring this verse to my mind and say, hey, don't forget to be kind. Or will say, hey, don't forget to forgive, or walk in love, or speak what I'm telling you to speak, or, you know, whatever it is. And so my purpose is found as I listen to him. So whose counsel I value is very important. If I find my purpose from a movie and I watch a movie and I go, oh, I want to be beautiful and popular and successful like that person in the movie. And then I try and I fall flat. And even if I do make it and the meaning fades, I go, I'm back at square one. But if I find my purpose in him, if I listen to the right counsel, now a movie can give me good values. It can show me things to value. It can help me, you know, learn what I should be doing or learn what I shouldn't be doing. But it's very important whose counsel we value, because where our purpose comes from is very important. The verse continues in Psalm 1. Blessed is the person who doesn't stand in the path of sinners. Will you put that second slide up? Proverbs 4. Oh, yeah, that's just an important thing to remember. I kind of skipped over that. But do not live by your feelings. Listen, that is an important piece of advice. If you're going to live the Christian life, you cannot live by feelings, because sometimes you won't feel saved. You won't feel like being nice. You won't feel like going to church. You won't feel like reading your Bible. You will feel like vegging and watching a movie and saying a bunch of stuff you shouldn't be saying and doing a bunch of things you shouldn't be doing. Our life is not built on our feelings. Our life is built on him. Okay, so go ahead to the next one. Proverbs 4:14 says, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Now, just like this slide, the way of evil can look a lot of different ways. It can look like following friends into what they're doing. It can look like doing what others at work are doing, even though you know you shouldn't. The thing is, God never said that our lives weren't going to intersect with others who were sinning. We see the paths all around us. There are lots of opportunities to sin. Even within our homes or on our computers, there are plenty of opportunities to sin if we choose to step off of the path that God is calling us to be. But we have to choose not to enter their path, and that means sometimes we have to stay separate. It's hard sometimes, but if we walk the path of evil, we will end up walking into sin. So sometimes God will tell us to stay separate. And that will protect us. Is it hard sometimes? Yes. Do we want to get involved with what the people are doing? And oh, but I feel so lonely walking here by myself. That's when we remember my life is not built on my feelings. I am not walking alone, because the Bible says that he will never leave or forsake me. I know the one that I'm in. His word is true, and he is walking here with me. Listen, it's hard sometimes. I remember there were times in college where actually my third year of college was probably the hardest year as far as just loneliness. My friends were like, all of my friends were kind of entering into relationships, most of them relationships that they ended up staying in. And I just kind of was the odd man out. I just kind of struggled. And those of you, you know, if you don't realize, I am very social. I'm actually less social now than I was in college. And I was college, I was like, I never wanted to miss anything with anyone anywhere. You know, I just wanted to be involved in everything that was going on all the time, to the point that I would wait until the last minute and everything was done and then work on my homework. And my roommate, who was a planner, was just like, oh, Shannon, you're stressing me out, you know, because that's just how I lived my life. But God, in his great wisdom, would call me away. There were times he would tell me, Shannon, just be with me. And it was hard for my social self to miss something that was going on and go up to the prayer chapel and be with God. But it was in those times that God protected me from relationships that my flesh wanted to get involved in, that God was saying, don't go there. Leave it alone. When we take the time to be with God and to listen to him and to realize that he loves us and to read his word, he will instill purpose. He will remind us who we are, what we're doing, and he will help us to stay separate when we need to stay separate. Now, the cool thing is, these people that we're walking on this path with, if we will walk with the Lord, God will show them himself through us. Even if we don't get into their pathway, the enemy will say, no, you need to step onto their path so that you can show them. You don't. You need to stay separate, but you need to let your light shine as you walk down that path. Josiah has a friend, and he was meeting with his friend, because his friend is like, he's at a place now. I think he used to be atheist. Now he is at a place where he believes in God, but he just isn't, he's honest. He's not willing to make that surrender. But when he didn't, he said, Josiah, I believe in God because of you, basically, because I see there's got to be something. And that's not to pat Josiah on the back. Josiah just lives his life to serve the Lord. And that is to be true of all of us, that God, I'm not perfect. I don't get it all right. I don't have it all together, but I want to live with you. And then if we will just do that, his light will shine through us. It's hard sometimes, but if we will stay on the path, God will protect us, because sin always has consequences and it's never worth it. The Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Will you go to the next slide? Law means precept, which means a command or principle intended as a general rule of action. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I used to think this scripture meant I need to be all day long, like thinking about a verse. And I mean, that's a great practice, but I have not mastered that yet to just all day long throughout my day, think about one verse. What I am realizing, though, is that this says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day or night. So a law means a precept, which is a principle intended as a general rule of action. So see, all these people are doing all these different things at home, at work, playing sports, hanging out with friends, you know, when they're alone. And if we will throughout the day think about every time, like when we want to mouth off to a teacher, or when we want to be rude to our husband or wife, or when we want to, you know, yell out the window at somebody while we're driving a few explicatives, you know, because they're driving too slow, or when we want to, you know, whatever it is, you know, when we remember, wait, God, you are telling me, and if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, the still small voice, you're here, don't do that, just hush. Be patient. And that's when I promise you the flesh will scream and you feel like, yeah, you know, because I want to do this so bad. I want to respond in the wrong way so bad. But if we will respond in the right way and let his principles guide us all day, every day, then we are meditating on his word, because his principles begin to guide my life. Now, yes, I need to think about what the word says, but it doesn't just mean sit at home and think about a Bible verse all day. It means let his principles guide every minute of every day of your life. And remember what he says to do and how he says to live. So how do we know how to do that? We read it in the Bible. If we would stop seeing this as something that we're supposed to do and begin seeing it as a revelation, number one, of the one that we love, and number two, as a how to live this relationship out with him, I would challenge you every time you go to read the Bible, say, God, show me yourself. Let me see you, and then show me me. Let me see how you want me to respond. Let me see what needs to change in my heart. Let me see how to pray for other people. Let me see what you want me to do. A lot of people run to God when they have a huge decision to make, and that's not a bad thing. We should run to God. But I'm telling you, if you would learn to run to God in the small decisions every day, then you get used to running to God. It's your natural inclination to run to God and to hear from him and to wait. And then you know when he's not speaking, okay, apparently I'm not supposed to do anything yet, which is, again, very hard on the flesh. But it builds character and it builds trust and it strengthens us. When we realize that his way really is the best way and we choose to live that way, it will change our attitudes and change our life. This is very important. Too many Christians are feeling sorry for themselves while they're walking the path of life. They're like, I know I should just do what's right. And I don't get to go out and have fun what everybody else is doing. And I can't just say what I feel like saying. I have to just be the bigger person all the time. And I have to apologize all the time. And I have to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Listen, the Christian life is the best way to live. Is it hard sometimes? Absolutely. Does it cause the flesh to die? Absolutely. Is it, you know, exhausting apart from growing in him and apart from drawing on him? Absolutely. But is it the best way to live without regrets? Absolutely. Is it a way to live back and go, God, you were in that. Even when I didn't see you, even when I didn't feel you, you were in that. You were moving. You were working through me. And I promise you, you will never get to the end of a time serving God and go, what was I thinking? Like, I mean, you might look back at yourself and go, what was I thinking? But you won't stand before God when God says, enter into the joy of the Lord for all of eternity and say, man, I wish I would have experienced more sin. I wish I would have lived by the flesh a little bit more. I wish I would have. I tell my kids all the time, because my older ones especially are like, Mom, I know that we want Jesus to come back, but I just want to get married first. And I don't condemn them, because I remember that feeling. Like, I remember like, no, I want Jesus to come back, but I really want to have children and I really want to get married and all that. Listen, but I always tell them, nothing down here is less. Trust me. If you miss out, you will never get to heaven and go, oh man, this is great, but I really wish I would have lived a little longer on earth. That's never going to happen. Everything that is there is better. And if we will trust God and walk in relationship with him, we will live when we stand before him without regrets. And I'm telling you, we have to remind ourselves as Christians, this life is a drop in the bucket. Eternity is a long, 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 long time. And if we live for the flesh down here, we will pay for it for a long, 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 long time. It's not worth it. The trade is not worth it. What's sad is some of the most foolish people are proud of their foolish accomplishments. Sin lies and deceives and blinds. When we went to the women's convention, over and over, more than once, the lady that was speaking that talked about she was raised in church, she walked away from God, she lived this life, and she said, sin makes you a fool because it deceived her. And God saved her, and you know, he worked in spite of her sin, but she had to live with the regrets of the decisions that she made. Now, God is so merciful that Michael Jr., I watched a little video by him yesterday, and he was talking about God's positioning system. That God will take us. You know how when you're driving in your GPS and you miss the turn, which I do lots of times, and it goes recalculating, and it starts recalculating. Why? Because the goal of the GPS is to get you where you need to go from where you are. And even if you make a wrong turn or you miss the turn, it'll recalculate. It doesn't go, oh, apparently their destination changed. No, the GPS is set on the right destination, and it'll start telling you how to start from where you are and get back to where you're supposed to be. God is so merciful. And if you are off the path, you will hear God saying, turn here, turn here, turn around, because your GPS, he's trying to get you back from where you are to where you're supposed to be. But you can go and you can exit out of that navigation and you can ignore God and you will end up in a place that God never designed for you to be. But if you will repent from where you are, even if you're like, but I'm already so far off the path, it's too late. It is not too late. If you hear God saying, reposition, turn here, then turn, repent. And if you don't, then get scared, because you don't want God to stop dealing with you. The Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. That's a dangerous thing when we ignore God and push him off. Listen when God is speaking and let him turn things around. Jesus spoke to them in John 8:12, and he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus came so that we could walk in his light. 1 John 1:5-6. And you can tell John heard this from Jesus, because God spoke through the Holy Spirit. In 1 John, through the Holy Spirit, he spoke to John, and John wrote, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Sin always brings with it deceit and lies. We cannot live in sin without living in deception, without living in lies. And the enemy paints this whole facade of lies. But if we will repent, what happens is God begins to pull down those lies and allow us to see how much we need him, where, how far we have strayed. Even that is God's mercy, to show us where we need to be. He's saying, recalculate, turn here, let's get back where I've called you to be. So wherever we find ourselves today, we need to walk closer to the Lord Jesus, as we submit every day to his way of doing things. Throughout our day, it will allow us to die to our wrong desires and attitudes and live more surrender to him. I challenge you, if you find yourself in an argument with somebody in your home and you realize, man, I'm just so frustrated. Like, just realize that's how the Lord works our sinful desires out of us. He works humility through us when we have to go and apologize, when we have to swallow the flesh, when we have to repent, when we have to humble ourselves, when we have to admit that we were wrong, when we have to step over when other people are wrong. All of those things are working through us to make us more like Jesus. And that's how we grow. We need to live in more communion, partnership, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This is my last verse. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." That's 2 Corinthians 13:14. I want to walk with the grace of the Lord. I need it every day with the grace of Jesus. When I feel unworthy, I look at the cross and I realize, Jesus, you died so that I could have grace. You died on the cross so that I could have relationship with you, Father God. It says the love of God. The Bible says that God is love. He is not, he doesn't have love. He is love. Love is what defines God, because he is the one who teaches us to love. And then it says the communion of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some far off spiritual, you know, entity that only super spiritual get to walk with. The Holy Spirit was given to us to speak to us, to direct us, to enlighten the scripture to us when we read it, to point out things that God wants us to do, to remind us of what Jesus said, to remind us of the messages that we hear and the word that we read in our time with the Lord. The Holy Spirit walks with us every day. And a lot of people are missing what he's saying all day long. Listen, he is such a good counselor. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what we need to do. And even he knows when we need to learn to wait and be still. The communion of the Holy Spirit. So I invite you to ask God to help you wherever you are today. If you haven't surrendered your life to him, or if it's been a long time, I invite you. We would love to pray with you. We never have to be ashamed for asking for prayer. Listen, all of us need prayer every day. So coming to the altar never has to be something that you need to be ashamed of. Coming to the altar and asking others to pray for us is found, it's in the scripture that we would pray for one another. And so it's obedience to the scripture that we would pray for each other, because we all need it. So I just invite you, as this song plays, wherever you find yourself, even if you are trying every day seeking to know Jesus and to walk with him, I challenge you, say, God, would you take my health level up just another notch spiritually? Would you just help me to walk a little bit healthier, or a lot more healthy with you in my spiritual walk? Imagine what God wants to do. It's his desire that we would walk with him. And so as this song plays, if you need prayer, we would love to pray with you.